Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet. Oh, whose voice is this? Yes, it's Miles Gray, and welcome to Season 9, Episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist for December 6, 2017. As I said before, I am Miles Gray, a.k.a. Miles Teller of Truth, a.k.a. the Benghazi Prophet, a.k.a. Miles Don't Lie to the FBI, and I am joined in studio by my co-host, super producer, Hannah Hosnier.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, and for those of you that are wondering, Jack is out right now. We will get to that a little bit later, but we are joined today in studio with a hilarious comedian, rapper, a host of Who Charted. It's the man Dragon Boy Suede, a.k.a. Howie Michael Motorcycle, a.k.a. Howard Creamer. How are you?
Good. Hello.
You're the one of the first guests that actually has legit AKAs.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I got other ones.
Oh, hit me with them.
A.k.a. Horse Pastrasnik, a.k.a. Oh, yeah, I guess that's it.
Wait, what's Horse Wait, what was that last one?
Horse Pastrasnik. It was, it's just a dumb name I used to use.
Yeah. No, hold on. I feel like there's a story. I'm intrigued by it.
There is a story. I had an agent at the time who used to get excited about whoever was brand new in town, and he just, he never even saw their acts, but he's like, I gotta sign them. So we made up this story that there was a guy, Horse Pastrasnik, that we saw up in Canada. He was amazing and stuff. And we just kind of let it bleed into conversation to the point where he's like, yeah, I saw that guy. The guy's good. Yeah, I gotta get that guy.
Oh, like lying? Like he had seen a Horse Pastrasnik?
Yeah, he was such an agent.
Right.
He had to be on top of everything.
I like that he even thought someone's name could be
Horse. Yeah, he started
horse.
To believe it.
Yeah, horse. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, this horse guy. You heard of him?
Yeah.
Howard, tell us a little something about a Google search you've done recently that will let our guests know, you know, a little bit about you.
Oh, yeah. I got to grab this one because I actually put this on Instagram, which I don't do. But I did a search and I just spelled it so badly that it was funny. And I think that kind of shows you something about me. I Googled Bertu and the Beezy cast, and it was Beauty and the Beast cast.
Wait, you intentionally typed that like that?
Yeah. Well, no, like, I guess this just shows that I'm curious about stuff, but just completely lazy. And I guess, I don't know, for you younger folks, it's like, did you ever need to know how to spell?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, Mavis Beacon taught me how to type. So, you know, I naturally had to learn how to spell also. Oh, so you just like to lightning fast just type on the phone and like whatever comes up.
Yeah. But it just amazes me that Google actually could figure it all out.
So. Yeah. Well, how did you spell that again?
I guess it was
Bird Tui?
B-E-A-R, Bear, Two, T-U, and the Beezy Cast.
For Beauty and the Beast. There you go.
Beauty and the Beezy Cast.
Did you find out what you needed to know?
Yeah, I did. I don't even remember. Why did I? I think it was to figure out who the guy was. I don't know.
The Beast?
I don't remember. Yeah, who the Beast was. Who is the Beast?
You mean like from the old TV show from the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yo, who was that? That was someone. Was that Ron Perlman?
Maybe. Yeah. There you go. Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman was like the Beast. In the, like you're talking about the live action like soap opera show, right?
Yeah. Because I thought of it because of the new movie.
Right.
I think that movie's overrated, right?
It could be. Well, here, let's get into that.
Okay, sorry.
Howard, yeah, tell us something that that you think is overrated.
Well, overrated to me is, Facebook, but not for all the problems you always hear about.
Of course.
It's got all those problems and more, but just the format. Like, I just think it looks terrible. Like, I don't get why that makes sense to people when they look at it. Like, it disorients me every time I look at it.
Well, it's definitely changed over the years. It keeps evolving.
Timeline was a very big, I remember, was a shifting point where people were like, what the fuck are you doing to my wall or whatever?
Yeah.
But wait, so to you, it could be more intuitive or what's your
like,
beef with it?
Like, when MySpace came out, that made sense to me. Like, it's me, it's MySpace, and it just had like a box over here and a scroll. And like, I feel like this is just so super busy. It's like... the inside of a TGI Fridays on there. It's just too much clutter.
Yeah, and there's too many ads. Like, yeah, the way the margins are just like chock full of information that you don't need.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really use it.
Yeah.
Do you use it a lot?
No, I don't, but I've always felt like I was supposed to use it a lot and I never did.
I did in the beginning and then I slowly just got lazier and lazier with it. I'm like, I have a phone. Like, you know, people who really need to reach me, they know how to reach me.
Yeah. I'm hearing that more and more from people that they're not using it.
Yeah, it's, you know, because it's whatever. I don't want to disparage people who use it, but for me, not my favorite form of social media.
It's not my spot. It's not my space, I'll tell you that.
Do you have anything else that's overrated?
Overrated movies.
Okay. Just generally the concept of cinema?
I just think they're too long and that as a culture, like, things are moving so fast now and, like, everything is so interactive.
Right.
I just think it's, like, it's harder for them to make a good movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I go to see them and I wind up, like, hopping around. Like, I go from movie to movie to movie. And
just theater hopping?
Yeah.
So, what, you spend, like, you go in at a 1 p.m. show and you're, like, out of there at 11 at night?
No. Like, I'm just saying, like, oh, this movie's no good. And at 10 minutes.
Oh, you're just like, whatever you can palate, you're like, yeah, Blade Runner's all right. I guess I'll see what's going on in The Big Sick or whatever. Just go bounce from movie to movie.
But, like, yeah, Wonder Woman was playing when I did that. And I was like, all right, there's a lull now. So, I'm like, what am I going to see now? So, I would leave and then went to, like, 47 meters down and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's that about? If someone who like falls in a mine shaft or something?
Yeah, it was, shark. They get trapped underneath the water.
Oh, in a cage, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Who was the actress?
Is it Mandy Moore in that?
Yeah, Mandy Moore. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wanted to love it because I love Jaws, but I didn't.
Ah, all right. Well, what is something that is underrated?
Jaws.
Oh.
No, you know what's underrated recently? Kesha.
Yeah.
Kesha has a new album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard it?
I've heard a few songs because someone else came in and said the new Kesha album is severely slept on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
She dropped the auto-tune. She's really going for it. You can hear her actual voice. And she's making real songs about her experience in the last, like, few years.
Yeah.
Right.
She's been through
Dr.
a lot.
Luke?
And she, Dr. Right. Luke, yeah. She had the problems
I
with
really
him.
Like it. That song, Prayer, I believe, gets me every time.
Pray, yeah.
Yeah, tear up in the car, like... Tell him.
She
tell
first
him,
became famous with lyrics like "Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy," right? Yeah. Wasn't that Kesha?
Yes.
Yep. Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Yeah. So now she's like, see the lyrical content is
growing. She's been humbled in a way.
She, I don't think though, like you wouldn't have picked her 5 years ago as somebody that was going to grow and mature. And
no, I wouldn't think so either.
Put out, a serious good album.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what else?
Maren Morris is another girl. She's like more country, but she put out like an amazing album called Hero that nobody knows about. But
yeah,
she's really good.
What? So it's straight country? It's like a singer-songwriter vibe?
It's kind of, yeah, it's more, well, she writes all the songs, but it's kind of like straight country, but it's like, has a little bit of pop too. But okay. But like even Alicia Keys has covered some of her songs. Like it's really good
stuff.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
So what's her name again? Maren Morris?
Maren Morris, yeah. I saw her at the Greek Theater a couple months ago.
Ah, beautiful. All right, well, let's get into the show like we normally do. We'll talk a little bit of format. I know you guys hear this every day. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. And, you know, we just like to talk about everything. We talk about movies, culture, politics, you know, the president. We talk about tabloids. And basically, we're just here to kind of get a read on what everybody's talking about in the world, specifically probably in the national consciousness here in the United States. But we also like to talk about world issues, which we will in a little bit. But before we do that, we always like to have our guests do a little myth busting. Because, you know, the zeitgeist is full of myths and culture is full of myths. And Howard, is there something from your experience, like a cultural myth or phenomenon that you can kind of take down for us today?
Well, yes. I'm originally from the state of New Jersey.
Hey, the Garden State.
That's it. And a lot of people, when the show Jersey Shore came out,
right,
they go, oh, that's what New Jersey is like.
Right.
And then there's a backlash because people are like, that's not what New Jersey is like. But that is what New Jersey is like.
Okay. So you're here to eliminate the myth that New Jersey is not like the Jersey Shore because it's exactly like the Jersey Shore?
Well, let's say this. Those people are everywhere. You
right.
can't escape
right.
those people. So, like, they're not the only tribe of people there,
right.
but they are
but
everywhere. And so they definitely, they affect daily life every day. And the way those guys are, the animal way in which they behave and stuff, like, that's everywhere. But it's not really a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's when you're there and you live there, it's just kind of funny.
So you weren't there with the fist pumping, gelled hair guys. What was your tribe in Jersey?
Oh, I was just like me and two friends that like punk rock. Like there was just like, there was nobody else who liked it.
So it was just an entire state. It was just the you three holding it down?
Pretty much. I mean, there was one guy like three towns away who had his hair spiked up. Like there was just like...
And you heard about him. You're like, hey, you
yeah,
heard about
that guy
in Red Bank
yeah,
with
exactly.
spiky hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yep.
Amazing, amazing.
But yeah, I grew up in that Red Bank area, so that's, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. I only know that because I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Oh, okay.
So
right
that on. Knowing that area is like, oh, what's going on in Red Bank, New Jersey?
Yeah, yeah. My sister lives like a mile from that comic book store.
Oh, nice.
And Springsteen lives over there. It's like real big Springsteen country.
Well, and another thing, too, is before we started, I was saying I'm from the San Fernando Valley, which is like L.A.'s version of New Jersey, where
right.
people who live in L.A. proper like to say shitty things about the valley.
Right, right.
So to people, like, what happens when you meet people who don't know anything about New York or New Jersey and just go, oh, you're from Jersey?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have like a built-in defense mechanism or a statement you give?
Like, I'm not defensive about it because I wasn't super, like, into being there. Like, I listened to Born to Run. Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. We got to get out while we're young. I was like, that's right.
So, yeah, I guess so. Jersey is a terrible place.
Yeah. It's not terrible, but I'm glad I'm from there, but I wouldn't go back just for even the weather now that I'm used to the weather out here.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I don't defend it. It is what it is.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, well, let's get into some of the news. Earlier this week, the Labor Department announced that they were basically going to be rolling back Obama-era regulations and put in new rules that basically allow restaurants to force waitstaff, bartenders, bussers, and other tipped employees to pool their tips so they can be shared with everybody, including, right. you know, kitchen staff, dishwashers, others who don't, like, sort of have front-facing tip jobs. This, yeah, is a significant change. Some people, like if you've worked in the restaurant industry, like, yeah, there are some people that should get cut in on the tips. But other people are kind of looking at this as like, yo, this is opening the door for like tip theft, which is already kind of a problem in the restaurant industry.
If they do it right, which is they add the actual money into the, receipt when you get it. So you just pay for your entire meal plus tip without having to do it separately, then it
right.
works because it goes into the company and the company is able to distribute.
Yeah.
But doesn't, I mean, like the cooks and all that, they get paid more per hour than the
they
servers.
Do because they're typically mm-hmm. making minimum wage where wait staff don't
right.
because they sort of offset that with the tips.
Yeah.
But again, minimum wage isn't great money. And if you're, you know, it is possible for waiters to make much more. So there is one side
to
it.
Wait, so I don't understand. Like, what's the reason for the change? What are they trying to get going?
We don't know. I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, the restaurant industry, like, lobbyists are like, this is great. This means fairness or whatever. But other people who advocate for, you know, people who work in restaurants.
Is it a way for them to pay their staff less because the tips are covering?
Well, some people, critics of it, are saying, like, yo, if you can actually take their tips, they've created a loophole where you can take tips and you can give it to anyone you want. So that means, like, people who necessarily, you could make it as part of the profits of the night.
Right.
Or you can distribute them equally among the employees. So, you know, a lot of restaurants have been sued for tip theft. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those things, like, if that continues, this law could only just make it basically, like, legal to be
what
like,
is
well,
tip theft?
That's like if, you know, you're working in a restaurant, you give your tips and, like, your boss is like, all right, guys, everyone bring your tips here and then I'm going to distribute them. And then the managers could get a cut of the tip or something.
I see it. Like a pimp.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, tipping is already like, it's a sort of dated practice. Like, a lot of countries like already have done away with tips because, you know, why don't you just start paying people good wages so they don't have to rely on tips so much.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's sort of the worst of two worlds in
it's
a
interesting.
Sense.
In some countries, it's actually rude to tip.
Right, exactly.
Which is like...
Like in Japan, like you don't tip. Like people, like you'll try and tip a taxi guy and he'll be like, no.
But why is it rude? Because it's saying like, I think you're below me, you need my money?
Like, yeah, something like that. And it's just like customary, you're just not supposed to do it. And so it's like you could offend someone by trying to give them extra money when they're like, I did not ask for that.
Well, right. In some places, like, or just your work ethic is such that it's like, well, I'm paid to do a job. You don't need to incentivize me to do my best job because I have a job. I will do my best job. Where here, it's like, you dangle a tip. It's like, hey, you don't treat me like a total piece of shit. And maybe I'll give you $2 at the end.
Right.
So, you know, we shall see. But again, if this, you know, I know a lot of people do work in the restaurant industry. So right now, before this rule does actually go into effect, there's like a comment period. So if you guys want, we'll put in the footnotes a way for you to comment on it if you feel so inclined.
I was a waiter at TGI Fridays in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
And I'll tell you this. If I like went out of my way and totally helped the table and then the guy gives me an extra big tip, like, why would you share that with somebody?
You
know what I mean?
Because you went out of your way personally to earn
that.
Yeah,
like if a rock star's out on stage and like somebody throws like panties at him, he's got to go share them with the roadie.
That's an interesting analogy. But yeah, I like that. I think also, I mean, like
I'm saying like, I think it might de-incentivize waiters from being good waiters.
It could. Right. But I think also if you just paid people a decent wage where they didn't have to rely on tips to like give them a living wage, then everyone will just work well because it's like, oh, I'm already getting paid enough that I don't have to worry about, you know, going above and beyond to get more money so I can live. It's like, I'll just come in, do my best job, and I know I'm walking out with fair pay every time. So, but again, I like the idea of like the guy in the band cutting up the panties backstage. Like, all right, here's your
everybody's
segment.
Everybody's got to get some.
Yeah, everybody gets a little piece of elastic.
Not that they covet those things. I would assume they just throw them away. But
I assume someone just comes and wipes or like,
sweeps them away. Hey, how about this? What if it's a lunch shift and there's not a lot of customers show up? So then the restaurant's paying salary, but they're not taking money in.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why a lot of times tips make sense for the waiter. I mean, for everybody.
That's why it's a very multifaceted problem because I know with minimum wage going up in LA, I was talking with Nick, our producer. He was saying that could potentially put a lot of restaurants out of business when they have to go to minimum wage for all their wait staff.
Right.
So, yeah, it's
or they might be, hey, we're closed on Tuesdays, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it's. You know, I think the problems that sort of exacerbate it are more than just sort of like what the minimum wage is or how tipping works. It's things like how these businesses are either taxed or what healthcare costs for them to provide for people. So it's many or rent based on like where your restaurant is.
Oh, yeah.
So there are many factors involved. But yeah, I think it can be a double-edged sword. I see it as the good side because I think if you're not making minimum wage, you absolutely need as much of those tips as possible to be able to sustain your life. But who knows? I don't think that Donald Trump is actually doing it for those reasons, especially if, you know, considering the amount of times restaurants are sued for tip theft. And if these rules do go into place, you can hide behind this as a loophole to basically take your waitstaff's tips and use them however you want. And we've seen in this world we live in, it's not usually to share it with the people who need it.
No.
Yeah, so with that, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we are back. What a break. That was such a break. Guys, so like you may have noticed, California is on fire. Maybe you didn't notice, but we definitely have because we live here in California, yep. Southern California specifically, and the fires are all over the place. They're up in Ventura. They're now in LA County. And that's actually one of the reasons why Jack is not here today is because he had to go take care of his house because it is in a bit of danger in terms of like this fire that's burning right now.
It's technically in the evacuation area.
Yeah. So, he texted us. He's like, I'm having to hose my roof down and like put a ladder out, probably I think for firefighters in case they need it. So he wants to be there, but yeah, I know we're not thoughts and prayers people, but, definitely thoughts and prayers, positive energy to Jack, that everything is safe. And we will hear from him a little bit later because this man is so dedicated. He's like, no, I'm going to call in.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk with Jack a little bit later just to get a little update with him. So yeah, these fires basically have got us, more and more aware of climate change because in California, we had a huge drought like the last couple of years and this last winter, in 2016, it was really, really wet winter. We had plenty of rain and it helped end the drought. The other side of that coin is that all the vegetation it created that was beautiful in the spring, as it gets drier, turns to brush and dried out plant matter that becomes the fuel for this. And it's just a cycle. And with the winds right now, it's been really, really bad. And yeah, this is all part and parcel with climate change, because as these things happen, these cycles will get more intense at the very least, depending on, look, if you don't fuck with climate change, that's your prerogative.
Right.
But don't come to me asking me for help when something happens to you. Okay. But anyway, this is how it's thinking, like, how basically over time, how are humans going to adapt to climate change? Like, whether that's like physiologically or what we do in the immediate aftermath of some kind of disaster. So we were thinking, like, yeah, what are we going to do? So one of our writers, JM, helped us to answer that question. It's not really like a what if question at this point, because it's happening now and we don't really know what we're doing. The UN has kind of like apparently only toyed with protections to help, you know, refugees of climate change, but haven't really put anything together. So like in Bangladesh, the population there depends overwhelmingly on coastal agriculture, and like sea level rise of just a few feet is on track to displace more than 15 million people over the next 30 years. So that's wild. Like just a few feet, that's like rendering the living area for 15 million people completely inert or unlivable. And New Zealand now, the government there, you know, they've apparently proposed a special visa for those displaced by climate change. Like that's like, we're actually coming into new territory where it's like, hey, you on that, K1, right. 90 day fiance visa? It's like, no, I'm here on the fucking refugee, like climate change refugee visa. Cause it's getting really serious. And the reason they created that visa was because in, 2015, they deported a refugee from the island of Kiribati. Because him and his family, they fled because they feared like going back to their island home. Like it was too much of a risk because it was totally threatened by climate change. And it's a very, you know, it's wild to think that there are people who have to make these kinds of like considerations. Cause, you know, before it used to be like, oh, there was a little flood or whatever. And now it's like, I think my island will literally actually be just swallowed up by the sea.
Right. And in places like Greece, they have little islands that they actually kind of keep refugees in tents and stuff. Now there's like a problem because it's getting so cold during the winter, they don't even know where to take these refugees because they fear they'll freeze to death because the winters are getting so cold now.
So like political refugees who are fleeing are going to an island where they are now being affected by climate.
Right. And a lot of these Balkan region countries are closing their borders off and they're saying, you can't come here. So now there's a crisis of where to even put refugees who live in areas that climate change is happening.
Right. It's, yes, this is, it's wild because again, we're going into very, very new territory. There's a Reuters story about this island of Kiribati, and it says the Pacific island nation of Kiribati is in dire need of aid as drought pushes it closer to declaring a state of emergency, and it struggles with rising seas and other effects of climate change, which could cost billions. So, you know, this is already happening and the numbers of people relocating is just going to increase because we've yet to really get a real handle on like how we're going to solve this, because this is like we're sort of just getting into the refugee part of climate change. Like clearly we're seeing the weather effects of it, but now we're seeing actual displacement. So that like kind of begs the question of like, you know, where do we put these people? Where will they go? And so as more and more people are like fleeing basically drought or sea levels, people are just floating out the idea of like, then why don't we just build some islands for them to live on? Which has actually been floated and some people are looking into doing that. The Seasteading Institute is creating a pilot project of like man-made islands in French Polynesia.
Oh, wow.
What are they made of?
So a lot of these sort of for the Seasteading Institute, they are sort of creating like literally just floating platforms, like above the sea, for people to live on. Like, so it looks like an oil rig.
But right, I mean, that's still like a very temporary, that's not intended to be like permanent, right?
I mean, there are examples of cities now that are sort of just built on the water, like on stilts. So there's a village in Thailand called Koh Phangan, which is like that. The entire village is just built on top of the water on stilts and they even have a soccer pitch. It's amazing. Like if the ball goes out of bounds, like the ball is just in the water and someone, you're going to have to either dive in and get it, or the homie in the canoe is going to have to throw it back. But there is very little margin for error. Don't slide tackle crazy on the thing because you will just go right off the pitch and into the water.
What are we going to lose first, like the Atlantic side or the Pacific side, or they both go up evenly?
So, yeah, in terms of, like, the U.S., Florida is the most threatened state due to sea level rise. Like Miami, for example.
Right.
They're a huge risk for where they are in terms of sea level, which is why like a lot of wealthy people have been buying like land inland, like in the projects where Liberty City, where Moonlight.
That'll be the new coast.
Yeah, because, and also it'll be, you know, for years to come at a high enough sea level that it's not in any imminent danger.
Right.
And then after that, the three most affected states are California, Louisiana, and New York. So it's everywhere. It's both coasts. And like, especially even like with New York, I don't live in New York and I didn't live in New York, but when Sandy happened, clearly like there were parts of Manhattan that were definitely underwater.
Soon Ohio will be the coast.
Yeah, you can buy that beachfront
property. It's supposed to be a tiny country when Ohio's the coast.
So in terms of like these like floating cities, you know, a lot of like the Seasteading Institute, they've raised like $2.5 million from about like 1,000 donors to do this. But the problem is a lot of the countries that are threatened with like that are really threatened with rising sea levels, they're also some of like the poorest. So according to like a UBC geography professor, it would lead to these islands being more like cruise ships, as he quotes, for those who can afford it. So it's like, it's not that everyone's going to have a ticket to this because it almost be like, you know, part of you moving here is you have to pay to live here.
Yeah, now it's like a socioeconomic thing as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Will you survive climate change? Well, are you rich enough to survive climate change?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Only the sexy people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, sorry, you got bad ratios. You got not enough women coming in with you, brother.
There's going to be a DJ controlling the whole thing.
Yeah, you have a club doorman. It could honestly be some shitty version of that. But yeah, so it's just sort of this professor goes on to say that the project reflects a cruel reality because the developed world is both responsible for climate change and better able to cope with it. So like you said, you know, it's not an ideal situation. So now the organization behind this project, you know, they've been in the news recently, because they want to get like, they want to start really aggressively, like 2020 aggressively, like in 2 years. And so they want to sort of use a startup ethos to create, you know, a climate friendly small government alternative to land-based nations, as they put it. But like when you look at their website, the vibe is a little culty. It's not really like, it doesn't seem like they're all about like providing shelter. Like, oh, here, we're here to really help these people who are displaced. You know, it's more like a place for people, you know, you just want to live off the grid.
Yeah.
You want to live off your fancy off coast, you know, floating city.
Yeah. Your bungalow on a floating city.
Yeah. And like, they're also like calling the people who are running the project aquapreneurs.
Oh, come on.
It sounds like what a guy who sells Aquafina door to door, like calls himself at like a family dinner. It's like, so what do you do now?
Well
I'm an aquapreneur. What's that? I'm a sparklets delivery guy.
It sounds like a guy who like also like, I got a new yogurt place. Where is it? It's about a mile offshore.
Right. Got a jet ski to it. Oh, you have a jet ski? Oh, well, my man, you're not even in the game. This is for aquapreneurs only. The other crazy thing is one of the group's founders was Trump buddy and Gawker killer, Peter Thiel.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, he's also, so it's like, you want to feel good about these projects, like that there are like good people involved. But then when you have like the guy who's like looking for young people's blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the form of Peter Thiel, like behind it, it also kind of bums you out because you're like, damn, like we're relying on some of these people too to like
well,
get us out.
The yeah. unfortunate
or they're
thing
exploiting
is
our need to want something, you know, good.
Right.
Most of the rich people who can fund this kind of stuff aren't necessarily the best people.
Right, of course.
So that's kind of like an aspect of like,
Are you throwing shade at Shark Tank?
No, I'm throwing shade at like Saudi Arabia for funding random stuff because somehow they'll find their way to like invest in that.
Into aquapreneurs?
Like, well,
oh, yeah.
Will they be aquapreneurs also?
Yeah, probably if there's
that's
money
like,
in it.
The veggie burgers I buy, they're made by Monsanto.
Like, are they?
Yeah, and I just like, there's other ones that aren't Monsanto, and I've tried them, and they're terrible. And I don't like them, so
you got to pick your battles, right?
Yeah, you got to pick your battles.
It's not like you're spraying. What was their
DDT?
Yeah, or like all that other shit that like renders seeds inert and stuff like that. My
How do you
God.
Kill seeds?
Yeah, Monsanto. But is that burger good though? Are you happy with your burger, Howard?
I guess I am.
Is it? And also, not to plug the burger, but what is it? The Impossible Burger?
No,
what's the Monsanto one?
I think Morningstar is owned by Monsanto.
Oh, yeah.
So any of those ones that are kind of easy to find?
Yeah, because like the good ones, like Impossible Meat, is like only in restaurants now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got us. They got us by the ankles, man.
Oh, you heard it here. Go get those delicious Monsanto Morningstar burgers.
Yeah, Morningstar burgers. Veggie burger. The only burger that will render your seed inert, which is very, very dangerous. So now we know where are we going to go? I guess there's some floating city options or just like head for the hills and panic. You know, the other thing about climate change is like over time, it will actually affect us physiologically. Like if it goes in a complete runaway scenario, there are effects that, you know, we as humans are going to feel too, not just because we're running away from the water or the fires, but, you know, rising temperatures and things like that can begin to affect like how we live.
Like how we evolve, like as species?
Yeah, like it could affect evolution. So like in the short term, you know, one of the things that people are already experiencing is there's one study that says that millions of Americans have already lost sleep because of the rising temperatures. Because I don't know if like you're like me, I cannot sleep if I'm hot.
Yes, I cannot like, either.
I've gone, you know, an entire night tossing and turning in the heat.
Yeah.
Because some places in LA like don't have air conditioning, especially on the east side, and you're just sort of like at the will of like a fan.
Oh, on the west side as well. They were not planning for this when they built the west side.
Yeah, exactly, because you had wonderful sea breezes.
Exactly.
But yeah, now you're like, I need a fucking air conditioner. Yeah. And I do the thing, sometimes I'll take a bath towel and dunk it in water and then wring it out and then just lay it on top of me.
That's genius.
Oh,
I love that idea.
That is like the original air conditioner. Like that, when you really can't sleep, just cloak yourself in a wet towel.
Does that stay pretty cool for a while?
If you really wring it out, and like you just put it on you because the evaporation effect will keep you cool. That with a fan, it's definitely, it's a workaround for some of you out there.
Yeah. It's a good life hack.
But yeah, so basically with the rising temperatures, people are losing sleep. Like some sleep scientists know that a person's like internal or core temperature is, you know, directly related to their ability to sleep through the night. I run hot. So I'm already like at a disadvantage. But typically the warmer you are, you know, the worse your sleep is. So we all know that. So guys, get your towel, wring it out, and we can get through this together. But like when they use some more statistical models, they found that for every month with an average temperature that's 1 degree Celsius higher than normal, 3 out of every 100 people lost about, you know, one night of sleep. And, you know, that doesn't seem that bad, like 3 out of 100. But when you actually like extrapolate that to the whole U.S., that's more like 9 million people who like will probably not be able to sleep.
Like 9 million cranky people would definitely affect the quality of life.
I mean,
that could lead to faster, you know, civil unrest.
No, I mean, that's true. Obviously, when it gets hotter, people do act fucking crazier. You know, like if you look at New York and I'm sure many other cities, like crime definitely goes up when it's hotter, especially at night because you can't sleep and your ass is outside probably getting into fucking trouble.
Maybe at one point they will have to literally put us to sleep with computers. Like you never know if we lose all that sleep to keep us sane.
Oh, like artificially induced sleep.
Yeah,
I do that
how
now.
Comas work.
It's called marijuana.
Yeah, it's called getting dumb high, just taking a dab before bed.
That does actually help sleep, though. I mean, for me, I'm just speaking personally.
See, so maybe you know you could get ahead of the game and like find these 9 million people who are losing night's sleep and be like, hey, you know, I have a solution for you.
You'll sell them some weed.
Yeah, meet me by the 7-Eleven.
Well, it's just
I sold 9 million eighths yesterday.
You become a millionaire overnight. And I am just getting this in now. We have established a connection with Jack O'Brien, who is reporting live from the fire-stricken part of Los Angeles right now. Jack, are you there?
Miles, this is Jack. I'm here in the Los Angeles area. I don't know if you can hear me. Fires are raging, I'm told, over by my house, but I'm safe about 10 miles away, so I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Why are you screaming? Yeah, that's...
I don't know. It just seems like what people do whenever you, like, throw to them in the field and there's a disaster going on.
We still have people, you know, like, you're not obviously not in studio because, yes, you had to evacuate your home because of the fires here in L.A.
Yeah.
And you sound very relaxed for someone who had to evacuate, but you're okay, right?
Yeah, I've been up since my parents called me this morning at like 4:30 and, you know, from the East Coast, and they were aware of this before I was, which is a great testament to what a provider and protector I am of my household, that they are like 1,000 miles away and we're like, hey, your neighborhood's on fire.
And you're like,
I was like, huh?
How do you know?
Your neighborhood's on fire, Dad. God. But then I went out into my front yard and looked, and you know, we live kind of right on the mountain/hill that goes over into the valley, and it was glowing, like you could see it glowing, and there was, you know, smoke kind of billowing over, just a big, looked almost like a patch of fog. So yeah, we got all our stuff together. I am fortunate to have an amazing aunt and uncle who live further east in Los Angeles, and we just took the family and the dog over there. And then I drove back and did all the stuff you're supposed to do. I didn't know about this.
What did you do?
You're supposed to water your house. Like I basically took our backyard hose and like hosed down our whole house. I unkinked my hose. So that's probably another reason I sound relaxed, is like a lot of the stuff that I was doing was very not like, didn't feel urgent or, you know, like I was in an emergency. I was like sitting in my backyard, like untangling my hose. And, you know, eventually got it unkinked. You're supposed to like have them laid out and then turn all the lights on outside of your house. And then I continued to just grab random things. Like I think I have one pair of pants and all of my t-shirts for some reason. And
those valuable phrase tees.
Right. I assume you brought all your sneakers.
I don't even have my Jordans. Yeah. Wow. Couldn't find my Jordans and I couldn't find my passport. Those were the two most important things.
Whoa. Well, how will anyone know that you're an international player?
No, exactly. I mean, my Jordans are kind of my passport when you think about it.
That lets people know you're locally respected.
Right. But yeah, so as I was leaving my house, there was ash kind of snowing down. And you could see helicopters kind of circling. We're basically across the street from, we're on the south side of Sunset, and the north side of Sunset had been evacuated, and you could see like these big cool planes with fire retardant just circling in, getting ready to dump the stuff. So it was pretty, I don't know, pretty dramatic morning.
Guess you live below Sunset?
Yes, like
I don't know if you remember Clueless when she gets real mad when she says when she calls her housekeeper Mexican, and she's like, she's from El Salvador, and she's like, what's the difference? And then Paul Rudd's like, you get mad when people think you live below Sunset. That's a deep cut that I had to just shoehorn in there because
that is a deep cut.
I think it's the second Clueless reference we made.
I'm on the wrong side of the tracks from Bel Air. Like the Bel Air people look down on my neighborhood, and you know, it's pretty tough, pretty badass.
I know like today we almost had to convince you to like just focus on evacuating and doing everything because you were so like dedicated to coming in, or at least calling in to do most of the show. But are you like, so other than that, like other than obviously the imminent danger that your home is in, you're feeling good, or did like the fire department give you any assurances or any idea of sort of what the situation could look like?
So I didn't talk to anyone. My neighbors talked to a cop who said that he thought our neighborhood should be okay. We're basically right now, sort of command central, where all the fire chiefs and police chiefs are, hanging out and, you know, figuring out next steps, is, you know, a stone's throw from where I live. So that's somewhat reassuring, assuming they don't have to, you know, double back and change where Command Central is. I think we should be all right. And that's what they said, we should be all right. But, you know, there's this thing in Los Angeles. So Los Angeles, people from Los Angeles love to brag about how it's always 72. And it's true, but there's the one kind of bad piece of weather that I didn't know about heading into living here is these things called the Santa Ana winds.
Yes. Right.
Which it's these just crazy strong winds that are unlike, you know, I've lived all over America and they're kind of unlike anything I've ever experienced anywhere else. Like they're winds that actually make you have to slow down when you're driving. They're because they kick up dust and also like push your car around the street. I'm not telling you guys, but, you know, people who might not have lived in Los Angeles during this time of the year. And those are going on right now. And, you know, this is just somewhat unprecedented for there to be wildfires at the same time as Santa Ana winds, because wildfires are usually not going on in December. But because of global warming or, you know, naturally occurring climate change, whatever you choose to believe. But I mean, obviously it's man-made.
You shouldn't choose climate to believe that unless you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, depending on if you're a complete fucking asshole or not. But so because of that, there are wildfires at a time, at the same time as like these crazy winds that normally like blow cars all over the street. So those are supposed to kick up later tonight, and then who the fuck knows what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I think earlier before you came on, I was like, we're not really a thoughts and prayers kind of show, but this is definitely a time for everybody, you know, send the vibes to protect Jack's house, his family, and many people in LA, man. Like, it's not just LA, it's Ventura County, it's San Bernardino. So all the listeners out there, if we can collectively send good thoughts, good vibrations, maybe we could fight the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll probably work.
There's no scientific evidence to back that, but I've had a granola bar and I'm feeling good about that.
All right. Cool. Well, yeah, I'll probably be back in studio tomorrow. Hopefully I'm not like standing in front of my house with a garden hose, like facing down fire, like Lieutenant Dan cursing at God, but yeah, we'll see.
To be honest, I don't think the firefighters would let you fight the fire. But yes, I'm thinking you're going to be in studio tomorrow. I'm feeling it.
Cool. All right, guys.
Well, thank you so much to our on-field correspondent, junior reporter Jack O'Brien, for calling into the main studio, the mothership.
Back to you, Miles and Anna. I just wanted to say that.
Stay safe out there.
Hey. That sounded so official.
Sounded so sincere, too. All right, Jack, be safe.
Bye.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we are back. So, you know, on the way out, we just want to hit a couple quick stories. One to do with Russia, our great friend, as Donald Trump says. You know, they're being banned from the Winter Olympics because, you know, they can't get their doping under control because all the athletes are just like mad juiced up or, you know, blood doping or whatever the new fad is. But the IOC is allowing individual athletes to compete, which is like, what? You're going to ban the country, but you let the individuals compete. So basically, I guess there is a criteria, you know, for these people to actually compete. So like if you're a Russian athlete and you're like, look, I'm not, you know, I'm not doped up and I still want to compete, you will be allowed, but you have to show that you've passed rigorous drug screening protocols. And you can, I think you have to have never been like sort of investigated or charged with doping. And then also, they won't be able to march under the Russian flag at the opening ceremony or hear the Russian anthem played if they win. They'll hear the Olympic anthem. So, you know, it's kind of like I guess it is a good thing. They could have completely banned all Russian athletes, but I think that is a big step to sort of be like, look, we recognize that there's fuckery going on because we can't do this in our country when it comes to Russian fuckery. But they realize something's going on there. And, you know, they just want to make it fair because, like, nobody wants to be, like, you know, trying to speed skate next to some dude with calves the size of, like, fucking tree trunks.
Right. And I do think it's okay to let the actual individual athletes come because they do that with other countries
yeah.
who can't come. Like, Syria can't just come to the Olympics.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But if you've been training your whole life and you happen to be from this country and you are able to compete at that level, you should be able to
Absolutely.
Come through and represent yourself.
Especially if you haven't been doping.
Right.
But there are a lot of critics who say like doping is just already so sophisticated
yeah.
that most people don't even like you wouldn't really even be able to tell because they microdose it and like it's mm-hmm. just over time.
Oh,
it seems
so a
natural.
Lot of them may be able to compete just because it's hard to find that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not it wouldn't necessarily be safe to assume that anyone like no matter what country mm-hmm. Could be doping, which brings up the thing like. Just fucking let everybody dope, I guess. Like, what's the problem
yeah.
there? At this point?
Have an Olympics for doping. Like, we got the best dope.
Yeah. Called the Dope
gold.
Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, it's the dopest fucking Olympics that you got because these people are breaking crazy records because they're using performance enhancing drugs that they use on bears or whatever the fuck.
Just send your bears over. We'll,
yeah.
We'll beat your best bears.
In wrestling, whatever it is. And so, like, the, you know, the Russians, unsurprisingly, and Putin are very upset. The sort of, in The Guardian, they're saying the IOC announcement on Tuesday was met by a wave of righteous anger, as Russian officials and public figures described it as war, racism, and genocide. That is fucking spicy. Like, let's be real. You're cheating.
Yeah, those are powerful words for, we got caught.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it was like, no, we're not cheating. This is genocide.
I feel bad for Grigory Rodzenchkov. The guy who was the whistleblower on all this, because it is not safe to go against the Russian government, as we've
learned.
Is he
in the...
No.
He's not in Russia,
no,
right?
No, but he fears for his life, according to an article I looked
what
up.
What will they do?
Him.
They'll poison him. What
oh,
will
yeah.
They do?
They'll
oh, yeah.
They'll get to him somehow.
They'll hit you with that umbrella. Where they, like, get you on the back of the
oh,
head.
Yeah, that spike-tipped umbrella.
Yeah, like that one spy, I think it was in London, who died of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, Putin, he questioned the ban, but ultimately said that, like, they won't, you know, stop athletes from taking part if they want to in a personal capacity. So, you know, if you're not doping and you played fair and square, you get your shot.
But it seems like maybe they would pressure them all to not do it because... If there's people that come out clean that go do it, then that makes the other people look guilty.
Right, right. I mean, look, if you're all about the glory, man, sometimes, you know, glory is bigger than country. And those be like, fuck it, I'm getting this medal. Or I'm competing.
I'm going to get shot when I come home, but I'm going to get this medal.
Right. And finally, you know, just to cap off a really fun day, I want to talk really quick about this new suicide booth that they've developed in Australia. This Australian doctor named Philip Nitschke, who Newsweek calls the Elon Musk of assisted suicide.
What an honor.
Yeah, that sounds like someone's like fake AKA. I'm the Elon Musk of assisted suicide. Fuck with me. You know, because just recently in the state of Victoria in Australia, they voted to legalize euthanasia. So this guy created what looks like a space pod, like that people would sleep in, like Lost in Space, to like do like cryo sleep. It's like a pod that the user will get into, push a button, and the chamber will start to fill up with liquid nitrogen to bring the oxygen level down to about 5%. And then around the minute mark, it says the user will become unconscious, experiencing almost no pain. So, and I guess...
I'm kind of behind it.
What makes this thing even crazy is like after death comes, which is, quote, fairly swift, the chamber can be used as a coffin and the base is reusable. So you just pop that off.
You have to move the body.
And you just pop a new one on. It's crazy. I mean, like, I don't want to imagine that we are living in a world where people like that we're just going to have those around.
But, I mean, I do always feel like it's more for people who are like suffering.
Absolutely.
Pain.
But what's weird is like in some of the renderings, like it's just out in a field. So it's like, it's like random. I mean, I'd imagine it will be in a medical facility for someone who wants to go in. It's
I don't know. Maybe you're able to be like, all right, and this is where I would like it to happen. So the last few things I see is wind blowing leaves through the air.
At that point, just put
the field
screen.
Is probably just so that they don't have to move that pod to bury you.
Yeah, just throw them right next door. So yeah, you know, again, just some uplifting news to end the show.
I'm wondering if it's making it too easy. You know, it makes it, you know. I had a bad day. You know, I'm just going to go kill myself.
Well, I think for this one, it's for what they call rational suicides.
Right.
So I think for someone who's just like, you know, I fucking lost at Madden. Like, you can't just hop into the suicide booth and drop a hot 16 and just get off yourself.
So, what if you get buyer's remorse?
There's no refund on that. Howard, it was great having you on. Can you tell the people out there where they can find you, how they can see more of you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can listen to my podcast with Cool Up. It's called Who Charted. It's over on Earwolf. And you can find me online at Howard Kremer, K-R-E-M-E-R.
I'm so sorry I said Kremer.
Well, it is Kremer, but it's just for spelling-wise, it's easier if I say Kremer because
Gotcha.
Then they go K-R-E-M-E-R.
Right. Yeah. And someone might hit you with a double E or something.
Yeah, C-R-A-E-M-E-R.
Good to know. Super producer Anna Hosnier, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Anna Hosnier, A-N-N-A-H-O-S-S-N-I-E-H, and I am all up on the Daily Zeitgeist Twitter, and yeah.
Up on there.
You can listen to my podcast on Feral Audio. It's called Ethnically Ambiguous, and I talk about being brown in America, and I love to talk about Saudi Arabia. So.
Yes, she does. You can tell how she just shoehorns in Saudi Arabia in any given story.
Uh-huh.
And again, yes, a very good podcast. I was on there, too. Check my episode out because you can hear about my experience being brown in America. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can find the show on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist, on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist, and we have a Facebook fan page. I think you just search The Daily Zeitgeist. And we also have a website.
Yes.
DailyZeitgeist.com.
Yes, where we have all our footnotes.
Footnotes. Thank you.
I wanted to do it.
There you go. Yes, finesse that. Yeah, because, you know, we're not lying out here. We're drawing from reality, from journalism to say this crazy shit. So check that out if you want to read up on that. And to play us out, in honor of our distinguished guest from New Jersey, we're going to go out with Born to Run by the Boss Bruce Springsteen, because, look, it's New Jersey. He talks about suicide machines and, you know, quite frankly, the climate refugees are born to run from climate change. So shout out to everybody. Please be safe. We will see you guys tomorrow because, as Jack says, it is a daily show. See ya.
Machines sprung from cages on Highway 9 chrome wheels.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.